This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
Piece was called Never Meant. It's off an album that's called Fianchetto and is by the new Melbourne-based band called The Yugoslav Attack. And with me in the studio, I have James Wiley, who is the leader of the band. James, good evening.
Good evening.
Thanks for popping into the studio to talk to us. I had the wrong microphone turned on there. Can you just speak?
Hey, how you going?
Good. That's better. That's what happens when you trust me to push the buttons.
Oh.
Now I can hear what you're saying. For our listeners, I have James Wiley in the studio. James is the leader of the band, the Melbourne-based band called The Yugoslav Attack, and you've just recorded a new album that's called Fianchetto, and I listened to it this afternoon. I enjoyed it. It's mostly an album of original pieces, but that particular piece, Never Meant, is a cover.
Yes, it's a song by American Football, who I think a lot of my friends and I grew up sort of listening to, and they're sort of a punk offshoot band, and, you know, they come from a punk orientated background and just offshoots of different punk bands. So very interesting kind of music, and that's a very interesting kind of song to cover for a jazz band.
Yeah, it is. And I was going to say, because it actually has a really nice mellow jazz feel about it.
Yeah. I think perhaps I've taken a little bit of that into it in terms of the arrangement and stuff. But yeah, it is. They are a fairly jazzy band as well.
That's good. What about the other stuff that you've written for the whole album? There was only one other track you mentioned that was a cover, but the rest of it is all your own works.
Correct. Yeah.
Have you been writing stuff for a long time, or is that something that's new to you?
I have. I've been mostly in punk bands. I started off playing in really fast thrashy bands, and then started to get into sort of more mellow stuff. And I decided that after a while, I'd probably just like to do something a little bit different. And I started listening to jazz a lot as well. And I thought it'd be a good idea to go down that avenue. Yeah, especially living in Melbourne, there's a lot of players down here to choose from.
Yeah, it's a huge change then from a thrashy band into jazz music.
Yeah.
Was that difficult to make that change?
No, because I sort of already learned how to play jazz guitar before from, I guess, that perspective. Like, I already knew how to play all the chords and sort of understood how to arrange music and all that sort of stuff. But I just wasn't really that into jazz at that stage, and I was probably more into punk rock.
To get yourself into jazz, what was that process like for you? If you said to yourself, look, I'm going to go into jazz, how did you then make that into a process?
I think it's probably about getting older.
Yeah. fair enough.
You know, when I'm younger, I sort of like, I'm very stubborn about what I listen to. I'll only listen to punk bands or whatever. And slowly your mind opens a little bit.
What do your friends think of this? Your friends who you might have been involved with in the punk bands or thrash bands, what do they think of this change, the James change into a jazz musician?
Yeah, they're stoked on it. But I mean, you know, people don't tell you to your face if they think something is trash. So,
yeah.
But I've had, like, I think numbers speak volumes. When people come out and see your band, then, you know, that's good. And we recently went up to New South Wales and did a little leg up there in Sydney and New South Wales and in Newcastle as well.
So you've actually been touring the band, the Yugoslav Attack, as a jazz band. And how was it received in Sydney and up around New South Wales?
I was tentative at first because we were playing with punk bands.
So were you, when you say you were playing with punk bands, were you kind of like the secondary band or the opening band for a punk set?
We were basically the headliners, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. And that's an interesting mix.
Yeah, it is. And because of the contacts that I had from previous bands, it was easier for me to sort of organise a bill because I knew people. I knew people, you know.
Yep.
It's easier that way. Whereas trying to get into a new scene, and I know, like trying to get into the jazz scene down here, it's difficult. It's not easy. People, it's clicky, you know, like you got to know people and you got to hang out at bars for a while before people will even look at you, you know. Like,
it's very interesting. The Melbourne Women's International Jazz Festival is on right now. I don't know whether you're across all of that, but we were talking to the director of the festival, whose name is Sonia Horbelt. She was in the studio with me last week and yeah. We were talking about people breaking into the jazz industry, and she was saying that one of the best ways to do it is to start hanging around jazz venues and introducing yourself to the people who are booking the acts and introducing yourself to the musicians after they've finished. It sounds like you're living that advice.
Yes. I'll tell you a funny story. I've got the pianist in our band. His name is Mark Fitzgibbon. I'm not yes. sure if you know yep. who he is, but
we do.
He's quite a name in the scene.
He is.
And I didn't know him before I went and saw him play. And I was having drinks with a few friends, and this is probably about 4 or 5 pints in, maybe 6. Well, I was fairly
happy. That always lubricates the conversation, doesn't
correct.
It?
Correct. Probably to a little bit of a sloppy sort of thing. But anyway, I sort of approached him after the gig and I said, hey, I'm writing an album. I would like you to play on it. And beforehand, my friend, he said, don't do that. You're an idiot. You know, like you're drunk, man. Like, he doesn't know who you are, whatever. And yeah, he gave me his card and he ended up playing on the album, which is really cool, and I'm really stoked that he did.
I think that probably around Melbourne, a lot of jazz musicians are very happy to talk to other musicians and get to know people.
It's true, yeah.
Tell us more about the band. How did you put the rest of the people? So that's how Mark Fitzgibbon came into the band. What about the rest of the band? Is it people you played with before, or did you go having beers and talking to other random musicians?
Yeah, no, I just sort of looked around and tried to find people that were like not the best players, but the players that I felt would play the best in the band. Like I wasn't trying to find like some virtuoso players, although all of them are. It wasn't the intention, but the intention was to find people that play the right notes.
Yeah, okay. So had you written the music then prior to meeting the people who are in the band, or did you kind of meet the people and then think, I can put this music together?
It was a little bit of both. Like, I needed to know that it was a possibility.
Yes.
I didn't form the band and then say, all right, let's write it. Mm-hmm. I already had some stuff there, but I needed to know that I could actually have people to come and play and make the album for me to, you know, go down the path of it.
And James, what about the lyrics? Because there are some pieces on here that are instrumental and some pieces that are vocal. Did you write the lyrics as well, or did you collaborate with someone else to write the lyrics?
I wrote the lyrics myself. I wrote all of the pieces myself. And the horn parts I just wrote on guitar. And I did all of the arrangements myself except for Hutt and Blackwood, which you'll hear soon.
I think next we're going to play Blackwood after we finish talking for a little bit.
Mark helped me with those arrangements. He was quite good, and I'm learning a lot because I'm not an educated. I haven't gone to university to study jazz, unlike probably a lot of the other people that come on your show.
Yeah, it's actually it's a very real thing with the jazz education scene, particularly in Melbourne. A lot of people do go to university, particularly Monash University has a great program. You know, a lot of our guests have been through those sorts of learning programs. So I think, you know, it's great that it's interesting to talk to someone who hasn't gone down that path and has come through a different way.
There's a lot of challenges. I mean, like not being able to read music is tough, because I need to write charts for my band. So I have to pay Mark to come and help me write charts. Or I've been to James Sherlock and he's helped me with that as well as some guitar lessons and stuff too. I'm just trying to, you know, progress as a musician and as a songwriter. In terms of like arrangements, I've been helped a little bit, but I haven't had like a whole lot of help. It's just been like, can you please write this out for me, you know?
So how does that work if that's the process that you're using at the moment, because you don't read music yourself or write music yourself. So do you actually play the piece for the person and then transcribes it?
So I'll have the alto and tenor sections played as a melody on the guitar. over me playing the chords or whatever. Funny story, I sent Mark a file of the songs, and the alto and tenor parts were both written in melodies, and it was all there, you know. But the guitars sounded the same, so he transcribed it all as one piece.
All right.
And he must have spent hours doing this. He came over and he said, "Are you serious?"
Yeah.
And I think he cursed at me a few times, you know. Not in a bad way. He was just like, "I just wasted all this time because you didn't sell
it." It was one of those communication things. Let's just have a talk about the other people who are in the band. There's yourself, who is the guitarist, and also you're singing in the band. Have you written for other people to sing as well?
No.
Or just yourself at the minute?
Yeah.
Singing. Rafe Coombs on the drums, Flora Carbo on the alto sax, and Flora's been in the studio a couple of times with us. Yeah, we introduced her album in here called Erica. Yeah,
listen to that. That was really cool.
Yeah, really good. Hector Harley on the tenor sax. I haven't heard of Hector before. I'm not sure where he fits in the Melbourne scene, but it's not a name that I'm familiar with.
Hector plays around. He's a really good player.
Robbie Finch on the double bass, Mark Fitzgibbon on the keys, and Bede Ford Gaddies on the trumpet.
That's correct,
I haven't heard or met Bede before. Yeah.
They're both fairly young and both very, very good.
Are they jazz musicians or are they other musicians like yourself who have come from another genre of music?
They're all qualified musicians.
Okay. Yeah. I think we should have a listen to another piece of music. You talked about Blackwood before and you wrote that particular piece. What would you like to tell us about it? We should know about it. Is there a story behind it?
Blackwood is about Brisbane. Yeah, I lived in Brisbane for a little while. It's just basically about friends in Brisbane and fun times that I had in Brisbane.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's have a listen to Blackwood. It's off the new album called Fianchetto by the Melbourne-based jazz band called The Yugoslav Attack.
And if all that I found was here, to the
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
I've got James Wiley in the studio with me talking about the album and telling us about his move from thrash bands into jazz music. And it's a beautiful jazz sound, I have to say, James. I listened to the album this afternoon before coming into the studio and I really enjoyed all the pieces on there. It doesn't remind me of anything in particular. Have you been influenced by any other jazz musicians or are you just kind of building your own sound?
Sort of. There's a band that I listen to a fair bit called Karate.
Yep.
And they're a jazz fusion kind of band, kind of like jazzy, rocky kind of stuff. It's probably a little bit more aggressive than what I'm doing. I started listening to a lot of ballady kind of stuff this year, you know, like your Benny Webster kind of and all.
But that was a nice ballad, the piece that we just played.
Yeah, so I'm sort of into that vibe as well. But I've just got to trust myself and get better at writing slower stuff. You know, it's really hard to write slow songs.
Yeah, I'm not a writer of music. Yeah. So, but I guess if you've been playing a particular style of music that's actually quite loud and quite thrashy, it's one of those
words, sounds.
Yeah, you do.
It's hard. Unless you can 100% back yourself, a ballad's going to sound trashy.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of famous jazz guys will say, especially like bebop dudes and stuff, they'll say, hey, you know, this guy can play fast, but until he can play a ballad, he's not a true jazz dude. You know what I mean? That's the real test, is to be able to play those notes and just have that soul and sing it, you know.
Even singing slowly is a difficult thing to do. Like singing slow and low is a difficult thing to do. James, the name of the album, The Yugoslav Attack, the name of your band, The Yugoslav Attack, and the name of the album, Fianchetto, are both chess terms. What's the deal there with the chess? I think Fianchetto, I had to look it up, but it's got to do with a move with the bishop.
It does, yeah. The move with the bishop is a move to the first file. It's basically like a move that opens up a lot of possibilities for the rest of the board. Because this was the first album, it's kind of like opening up a lot of stuff for us, and it's kind of our first move.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. So the name of the band then, the Yugoslav Attack, which is another chess move.
So
I did think for a minute there, I thought, oh, it's got something to do with the conflict in the Balkans a couple of decades ago or something. I was kind of like...
Very controversial.
Controversial, I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's based off a Counter to the Sicilian Defense. Now, there's a...
That sounds like your next album name.
Well, there's a band called the Sicilian Defense.
Right, okay.
And they're from New York, and Jonathan Finlayson heads that band. Moles Okazaki plays in that band as well, who's a fantastic guitarist. He played at the International Jazz Festival at the Jazz Lab this year. And I saw him and I gave him a cuddle and said, thanks very much for coming. Yep. Bring Jonathan out and play. He said, we can't afford to do that. But they're awesome. And, you know, I basically named the band as a counter move to their band name.
Oh, that's thoughtful.
Yeah. And like I got into them because Flora's brother, Theo, he got me into Mary Halverson Octet. Mm-hmm. And she's a really great New York jazz composer, and he plays trumpet in her band, and I was like, man, those trumpet lines, they're sick. I really want to find out who that dude is. And then I started listening to his stuff, and he's phenomenal.
Yeah. Do you have any plans to formally release the album? Because it hasn't been released. Like, you sent me the music as a file, but is it on CD? Can people buy the album
in a week? I'm getting the 12 inches back from Zenith.
So is it going to be on vinyl?
Correct.
And on CD as well, or just on vinyl?
Just on vinyl at this stage.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is, it's an interesting way to release something. I've never released anything on vinyl before. Always CDs. I mean, CDs good. Like, I like CDs because I have a CD player in my car, but the world's changing now. You can have Bluetooth in your car. And
you can.
I don't, but... I have one of those FM transmitters.
Oh, yeah.
And I just like in the tram tracks, you know, you get the static. It's a nightmare. I hate it.
It's not good. It might be time for a new car.
Christy can have my old car.
Yeah, fair enough. Swap the cars around.
Yeah.
So do you plan to formally release? Are you going to have a release gig or something like that? Or is that... that's still in the planning?
I'll tell you something really nice that happened. I got an email from Open Studio a few weeks ago.
In Northcote?
Correct, yeah. We played there. We played a gig. I think it was our second gig, yeah. And
your second gig as the Yugoslav Attack?
Correct, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And they said, come. We'd really love you to come and play with us again. We're taking bookings for next year if you'd like to, you know, put your name down. I didn't at that stage. I will. I'll probably do it this week or next week. But that's really lovely to have venues come to you.
Yes.
And that's like a rarity. I never have people chase me, you know, and that's really cool. Like, it's a really nice compliment for someone to say, hey, you know, we want you to come back.
Well, it would be great to see the album formally released. I'm sure that people would like to listen to it, because I guess unless they buy the vinyl, there's no other way of hearing it at the moment, although they're hearing it here on Bandcamp.
Correct. We've got a Bandcamp page, and you can check it out on that. Just type in the Yugoslav Attack. It's on the internet.
Oh, yes, it can be purchased in that way. Yep.
Correct, yeah. Oh, I mean, it's free, so you don't have to, but it would be appreciated, so I can try and fund another record.
Another record, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I mean, this was extremely expensive. I got it done, mixed and mastered very professionally. Obviously, pressing a record is expensive, and paying session musicians is expensive too. So it was an expensive exercise, and probably the most professional work I've done so far.
Does it inspire you to keep to do it again and make another one? Are you going to write another album?
It's bloody worn me out. For the last few weeks, I've had this big rest. I've just laid on the couch and played PlayStation. But it's been fun. It's been really fun. I'm just sort of like, because it was my New Year's resolution this year to release a record, and I've done it.
Fantastic. So, congratulations.
Thank you. So next year it's going to... I'm not going to tell you what it's going to be, otherwise it won't happen, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Keep it to yourself and then make it happen. good idea. Let's listen to another piece of music. I'm going to play the piece called Hut. Can you tell us about that particular piece?
It's about my wife and I. Well, she wasn't my wife at the time, but we left Newcastle and moved to Melbourne about 5 years ago. And it's just about being really nervous about the move. You know,
is Newcastle where you come from?
Correct.
Newcastle, New South Wales?
That's right, yeah. Yep. And the drummer in our band is from Newcastle as well. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of... There's a lot of air flights.
Yep.
Yeah. It's kind of hard for us to get together and rehearse and that sort of thing. But, yeah, we manage. Yeah. And it's good live. Like, we actually sounded pretty tight when we went to Sydney and Newcastle.
So. Oh, this is with the band?
Yeah.
No, sorry. I thought you were talking about your wife just then. I got a bit muddled up.
No. Sorry. Yeah.
You and your wife moved down here, but your band member still lives up in Newcastle.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that is difficult. But you can transfer files electronically. We have had musicians in here who have told us about how they do that
as
well. Let's have a listen to the piece called Hut.
We pass.
James, thanks for coming in and telling us all about that there.
Thanks heaps for having me. You're a legend.
No, no problem at all.
Yeah, this I've enjoyed. Really cool. I don't know if you've ever been to Joy, if your listeners have ever been, but they should come.
We like to invite people in.
Yeah, it's like it's a nice view, and I'm gonna get a tote bag on my way out if you're gonna sell one to me.
I'm sure we can find a souvenir to give you. We certainly will get a photo that we can stick up on our Facebook page.
Yeah,
probably cool. With a maybe we can put a link up to your Bandcamp page there as well, so that people can have a further listen to your album.
Please do. Yeah.
And thanks for coming in and telling your story, because it's a very interesting story to go from thrash music into jazz music, and you know, not being someone who reads music or writes music, I think it's a pretty amazing story. Congratulations on the work.
Thank you very much. I hope that I can continue just keeping on this path, and yeah, maybe in a few records people might start listening to it.
I'm sure they will. Yeah. I'm sure they will. We're going to play one more piece as we say goodbye to you and thank you for coming in. We're going to play the piece called Mae West, because she was an old-time actress.
Yeah. There's a suburb in Newcastle called Mayfield West.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they have...
Is this about Mae West, the old actress, or Mayfield West, the suburb in Newcastle? Well,
it's kind of about both.
Yeah.
Like, they had the Mae West embroidered on the hat, and I said, what's this? They're like, Mae West. It's Mayfield West Bowling Club, you know?
Yeah.
I said, okay, cool. Yeah. I got it. So I bought the hat.
And then you wrote a story
about
it.
And I try and wear the hat, and my wife stops me from wearing it because it looks terrible. But whatever. I did a song about it.
Oh, good.
So she can listen to that.
We'll have a listen to it. James Wiley from the Yugoslav Attack. Thank you so much for coming in and joining us on Bent Notes. I really appreciate you telling us your story there.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.